What a great blessing it's been to be here this week. In fact, I had the great privilege of being downstairs at 6 o'clock, and those enthusiastic, wonderful boys and girls down there, I think about 70 or so, or maybe more than 70 downstairs. It's just thrilling to get them to sit still, which they did. They sat still, and we shared with them something on the flannograph board, kind of taking a piece of paper and cutting a cross out of it and presenting the message of the gospel, that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and how God loves us, and Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. And then, of course, to invite folk, boys and girls, to think about salvation. Ask them to raise their hand. And then I ask them to come forward. And a good number of them came forward. And I realized many of them just come to come, whatnot. But as personal workers, if you use what you ought to in dealing with them, you can find out those that are genuine and those that are not. But a real, real thrill, actually. And we miss the boys and girls here in the auditorium, right?
Yeah, sure.
So I don't have anything special for you tonight that you can go and remember. But what has been a real blessing for my wife to be here. It's always a blessing to come back. We think a lot of your pastor and his family, his dear wife and family. My, they've just been faithful to the Lord from the very first. And that's what it's all about. Starting in that house down there and then gradually moving up to this beautiful auditorium. It's wonderful. It's thrilling. And so I trust you'll keep inviting folk, as the pastor mentioned. Never give up on people. I tell people, do not accept the word no. When people say no, 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 don't accept that. I read someplace that the Southern Baptists, and of course we don't use them as a gauge for what we believe and so on, but they reported that it takes 18 calls many times to get somebody. We give up far quicker than that. No, no. Don't say no. When people say they can't come because of the chores, we'd go out and help them with their chores. Go out and help them. Go out and milk the cows with them. When they say they can't come because of the baby, then all right, get a babysitter. They can't come because they don't have gas in the car, then we got gas to put in the car. In order to get people to come and mean business with God. So keep inviting folk. And my, what a great blessing it is to invite folk to come. Thank you again for your love and kindness and the privilege of being here. And we'll be leaving tomorrow morning, not going very far, just 150 miles over to Ontario. I was thinking of that sign out there that mentioned the trip that you're taking to visit the Amish Walmart. I don't know whether you ever heard that or not, but when we go to the Amish Walmart.
Do you go there?
Yeah, and it's fantastic, really. I mean, it's a building, large building, and I say it's filled with junk. It's not. But if you want something, you'll be able to find it there someplace in that large building in that Amish Walmart. So it's a thrill, and we look forward to the week and being there with that dear pastor and his family. All right, if you have your Bible now, turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And I want to begin reading with verse number 11 and read through verse 15. And I trust you have your Bible and you'll follow along as we once again have the great privilege to be challenged from the wonderful, wonderful Word of God. Revelation chapter 20, beginning with verse 15. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's bow and pray. Heavenly Father, What a blessing again it is to read the Word of God. What a blessing to be able to call on a God that loves us and a God that's concerned about us and about the entire world. It's not your will that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so we're thankful for the truth that's found in the pages of the Word of God. We pray for those boys and girls and young people who came forward downstairs. We pray that some of them will understand clearly what it means to be saved, to be born again by the Spirit of God. We'll praise you and love you. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, we live in a day of deferred payments. Now, everybody understands that. You can go and buy something today and not pay for it for years. Now, I don't understand that. I don't understand that. Furniture Row out there in California advertises that you can buy furniture and not pay for it for 7 years. Wow. Well, by then it's going to be wore out.
Yeah.
It's going to be wore out. But nonetheless, you can buy it and defer the payment. Put it off. But you know something, as I think of that, the day comes, though, when you have to make the payment.
Yeah.
It will come. Payment is demanded in full if you miss a payment, if you miss that time. And people today that commit crimes, they think they can get by and get by and get by with appeals, with appeal after appeal and so on. And some of these folk, it seem like, never are brought to that place of judgment where judgment is passed upon them. Now, as I begin to think about that, I think about the truth that's found in the Word of God. The Bible clearly tells us there's a judgment coming. A judgment coming. And people today can mock God. People today can use His name in vain and so on and think they're getting by. No, they're not getting by. There is a judgment coming. And when that judgment comes, the payment will be due in full. Individuals are going to stand before God to give an account, of what God provided to them, for them. Now, as I think of that great truth, I think of the fact there are two judgments ahead that I want to mention briefly in the beginning of this message. First of all, for the believer. And when I use that word believer, I'm talking about somebody that's saved, somebody that's been born again by the Spirit of God. Listen, ahead of us, there's a judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die. Death is going to come, and it's heaven. It's going to be heaven, but there's going to be a place of judgment where you and I, as believers, are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to stand before Him to give an account of what we've done since we got saved. In one of our Bible Land tours, we went to Corinth. And I wanted to go out to Corinth because I wanted to see that judgment. I wanted to see the Bema Seat. And I stood there at the Bema Seat and thought of what is pictured in the Word of God as the place of judgment. As I stood there, I wondered how many people realize that someday they're going to stand at that place of judgment. How many believers believe that they're going to stand there? And I believe if we understood that truth, we'd make sure that we were obedient to the Word of God. We would not laugh at God. We would not be disobedient to God. When God speaks to us about baptism, we would not argue with Him. When God speaks to us about membership, we'd not argue with Him. When God speaks to us about tithing and giving, we'd not argue with Him. Listen, we would obey Him because there's a judgment coming. We're going to give an account at the judgment seat of Christ according to what we've done with the Word of God. With this great book I hold in my hand. So we ought never to treat it lightly. Now the second judgment is the great white throne judgment. That's the judgment that unsaved are going to stand before. And what a terrible, terrible place that's going to be. And I want us to look at that judgment tonight to challenge our hearts, because there are loved ones and friends that are going to stand there unless they get saved before a holy God. And the outline that I'm going to share with you is very, very simple, so that you can remember it. Number one, I want us to see the judge. The judge that seated at the great white throne. Now we look at the scripture, verse number 11. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. We've heard in the news just recently about Zion National Park. On our way to California, one of the trips, we decided to go through Zion National Park. And as we were driving down in Zion National Park, I saw signs. One said the 12 apostles. I saw another sign said the great white throne. And I wanted to see what that was all about. So we got down in the bottom of Zion National Park, and the arrow pointed, of course, to the right. And I drove around and so on. And finally, looming up there in front of us, what was called the great white throne. I wonder how many people stood there and realized that pictures what's spoken of in the scripture. But the Bible says, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. Him that sat on it. You see, the judge is going to be seated. He's going to be seated at the great white throne. It's a scene of a courtroom. If you go into a courtroom, the judge is always seated. It's the people that are accused are standing there or have to report for some crime. They're the ones that are going to stand or the attorney that represents them. But the judge is always seated. Here in the scripture we see that. Here's the great white throne and the judge is seated. Now who is that judge that's seated? Who is that one? Well, the Bible says, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Now, I want you to remember that phrase, because I'm going to get back to it later on. From whose face, the Bible says, the earth and the heaven fled away. So the central theme is the judge. Is the judge. Not the earth, not the heaven, but the judge. He's seated there. He's seated. Now, the judge that's seated there is the God who loves sinners. The God who loves sinners. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. Yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. John 3:16, so familiar to. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. John, Romans chapter 5, 6 and 8. But God commended his love toward us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10 and verse 11. All day long have I stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. 1 John 4 and verse number 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. The judge that's seated there is the God who loved the world. The God who loves sinners. My, that we might understand that truth. God does not hate them, he loves them. And he wants them to come to be saved. That brings me to the second truth about the judge. It's a God who hates sin. He hates sin. And sin has to be judged. In the book of Psalms, chapter 7, we read, God judgeth the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. God's going to judge the righteous, but he's angry with the wicked every day. Romans 1 and verse 18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. God's wrath is being revealed. And I look at that scripture and say, how is it being revealed? So many ways today is God's wrath being revealed. Storm, earthquakes, terrible, terrible things that are taking place in our world today simply reveal, I believe, God's wrath revealed against all ungodliness. People can thumb their nose at God and think they can get by. And the wicked, wicked world in which we live, these individuals that stand before a judge that are queers and they want to be married, God Almighty will bring judgment upon that. Thank God for the lady down there in Kentucky that refused to marry them. Oh, listen, dear friend, and it's going to happen to this church. It's going to happen to a lot of churches. It's going to happen where they're going to come and challenge this church and so on to perform such a wedding. What stand are you going to take? Oklahoma, I believe it is, that does not perform weddings, period, to get around such an idiotic law. It's terrible. But God's hatred. Now listen, dear, when I think of God's, why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Why? God delivered Lot and delivered the family out of Sodom and Gomorrah, but the reason he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, because of the wickedness of homosexuality. That's why he destroyed it. That's why the flames began to burn and so on and destroyed those entire cities because of their wickedness. God's not changed. God hates sin. The wages of sin is death. That's the wages. And oh, dear friend, we see that truth in the Word of God concerning. God is the judge, is one that loves sinners. He loves sinners. He has provided salvation for them. They're on the cross in the person of His own Son. But the judge that's seated here hates sin and will deal with it. And by the way, God hates sin among Christians. Among Christians. If you do not take care of it, judgment will come. You're going to bear the result. You're going to bear the result. So it's very important to realize the God that we serve, the God that we know, He hates sin. He hates sin among the unsaved. He hates sin among the believers. Sin has to be dealt with. That's the judge that's seated. A God that loves sinners. A God that hates sin. Now the second thing I want you to see, I want you to see the judged. Those that are waiting for the judgment. Waiting. And I'm going to use some words that start with P in the outline, so it'll help you remember a little bit as we look at the group. Because look at what the scripture says in verse number 12. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. See, the accused are standing. Standing before God, and the books were opened. That's plural. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, which is singular. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, plural, according to their works. Now, as we look at those standing here at the judgment before this holy God, number one, there'll be sinners standing there who prefer sin to salvation. They preferred to live in sin instead of receive salvation. Now, I read that in John chapter 3 and verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that men love darkness rather than light. Isn't it interesting that most of the hell holes of our day are dark? Yep. Are dark. It's interesting. We were in Redding, California, in a meeting, and we were waiting there in the lobby of a distinguished hotel waiting. And we were just outside of the bar room, and it was dark in there. They had little lights on the table that were flickering away and so on, flickering away there. And I mean, I wonder how in the world can that people see what's going on in there. But it was interesting, we were waiting there and being picked up and taken out for lunch. I looked down the hallway and I saw a little mouse. A little mouse was running along the hallway, and he came to the entryway to the bar room and he turned in. See, the mouse was thirsty. And he entered into that ballroom to get a drink. No, not really. And I thought, listen, what do you suppose those dear folk would think if they looked around and they looked on the floor and they saw that little mouse there? You see, the hell holes of our day usually are dark. Men love darkness more than the light. More than the light. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, begin verse 18, men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, God's wrath will be revealed. Because that when they knew God, They glorified him not as God. All the judgments come. And having knowing the judgment of God, have turned from the judgment, have turned from God, and think they can get by. Oh, dear friend, sinners that prefer sin to salvation. I mentioned the man that I work for, an alcoholic. I mean, it was terrible. It's amazing that God spared me in that place. I developed such a hatred for the stuff, Listen, he'd go in, he had a favorite place, he had his bottle of brandy or whiskey or whatever, and so on. And I'd go in, and I found his bottle, and I went to the medicine cabinet, and I got all that stuff in the medicine cabinet and poured in there. I got the red pepper. I got the black pepper. I pulled all that stuff in the bottle and then shook it up real good. And then I put it on the shelf. And he'd come in. He had to have a swig of that stuff every now and then because he could not navigate without drinking. And he went and pulled that bottle off the shelf and uncorked it and put it to his lips like that to goggle the stuff down. And oh, listen, it started to burn, And he took that bottle and smashed it to the floor. I had to clean up the mess. But before he died, he sat in the service where I was preaching. Amen. I begged and pleaded that he would get saved. But he loved to sin. He died a drunkard. Oh, listen, dear friend, how true that is today. Individuals that prefer sin to salvation when they can be set free from the power and penalty of sin. Oh, the second thing. Sinners are at this judgment that have perverted God's plan of salvation. Now, what do I mean by perverted it? They've simply taken it and changed it. Romans chapter 10, 2 and 3 mentions that they have a zeal. They have a zeal of God and try to establish their own religion. They perverted it. Now in Wisconsin, we see a lot of that. Oh, listen, I'd go into a home and lead somebody to Christ and they're born again. We were talking about today. I met with a dear couple, a businessman in Watertown. I met with him for 18 weeks, 1 hour a week for 18 weeks before I got him to come to church. I sent them back to their preacher. I said, I want you to go back to your preacher and ask your preacher, where in the Bible does it say a baby is baptized? Where in the Bible does it say? And they did it. They made an appointment. Went back and sat down in the office and said, we've been members of this church all of our life. We were baptized in this church. But preacher, we'd like to know how to get saved. We'd like to know where in the Bible it talks about infant baptism. We'd like to know where in the Bible. And that preacher, it's too, would take his Bible and drop it on the desk and say, I can't show you from the Bible, but we as a denomination teaches it and we believe it. And then I would get a telephone call. And that preacher would call me on the phone so angry with me. He said, what are you doing? I said, you know what I'm doing? I'm teaching your people the Bible. And I said, by the way, don't you believe the Bible? Don't you believe the Bible? That's all I'm doing is teaching them the Bible, what the Bible says. And clang, down went the receiver. Got so angry, And I mean, preferring to change the scripture. Another man came by. His dear wife got saved and his children got saved. And he hated her, hated us. He hated the church. And if he was out of town, he'd come by and took all the spark plug wires off of her car and so on. So she couldn't get home. And I had a little bit of sense, not much. But I'd go out and I was able to put those spark plug wires back on. And so I went out. She said, I think it's time you can go call on my husband. I think he'll listen to you. So I drove out there. I mean, he went to his preacher, and the preacher ignited him, and this perverted religion and so on ignited him. And so he came by the church, shot at the cross, top of the church, smashed into our mailbox. I said, well, I think it's time I go and talk to him. And I went out there to talk to him. Introduced myself. He knew me. He knew me. I said, listen, I just want to talk to you. He got up from his chair, went in the back room, got the rifle. And he came out and said, listen, preacher, I want you to get off of this property and never to come back. He went to a church where they perverted the plan of salvation. Plan of salvation. Oh, listen. What a tragedy. And those folk are going to stand at this judgment. They claim it's in the Bible. No, it's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. The third thing, there are going to be sinners at this judgment that profess but do not possess. They profess to be saved. And in Matthew the 7th chapter, I see the truth here presented by the Lord Jesus in a simple, wonderful way. Matthew chapter 7, and listen to what it says in verse number 21. Matthew 7 verse, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, not everyone that professes to be a Christian is going to be in heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now, what is the will of the Father in heaven? The will of the Father in heaven is that individuals repent and be born again. And verse number 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And I look at this and I've studied this verse. I thought, listen, Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not proclaim the word of God? Many will say, did not we cast out devils in your name? Many, many are going to say, in thy name we've done many wonderful works. And I look at this and I say, Lord, surely those folk must be saved. But look at the next verse. The next verse, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He said, I didn't know you once and you lost it. He said, I've never known you. I have never known you. I've never known you. You see, dear friend, they profess but do not possess. And I'm afraid in our churches we have people that profess but do not possess. They know the language, but there's no dedication and difference in their life whatsoever. Oh, dear friend, individuals that have not been born again. Oh, we go to the fourth thing. Individuals that have procrastinated their decision of salvation. Proverbs 27 verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day will bring forth. Proverbs 29 and verse 1, I simply read, he that is often reproved and hardened his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Individuals that put it off until it's too late, they're going to be at this judgment. Standing before holy God. At this judgment, standing there. Why? Because they perverted. Because they've changed it. And they're going to be standing there before God. There are sinners going to be there that have procrastinated. Put it off. And they're all standing at this great judgment. Now the last thing I want you to see, not just the judged, but I want you to see the judgment. The judgment. And we read of it. We read here in verse 12, I'm going to read it again. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now if you look at this truth, the judgment that's passed upon everyone at this judgment is determined with what's in the books. The reason that they're at the judgment is their name is not found in the book. It's not found in the book. And so they're standing here, all of them lost, everyone at the right way through judgment, and they're judged according to the degree of punishment that they're going to experience all through eternity in hell. They'll be judged according to what's in the books. What's in the books? Now, it's interesting. 2 Peter 2, verses 1 to 4, God spared not the angels. God spared not the old world, that's Noah, and turned the city of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Those are examples to show us what happened to them as an example of the fact that there's a God, eternal God, that's a judge. And individuals are going to stand before Him. Now, there's two things I look at when I think of the books. Number one, sinners cannot escape the judgment. They cannot escape. Why? The books are opened. There's a record. There's a record of every person. They cannot escape. And that's what it says. Verse 13 says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in it. And they judge every man according to their works. They cannot escape. They cannot escape whatsoever. The second thing I read, they cannot hide the evidence. The evidence is there. It's there. The books are open. The record is given. And sometimes we say, does God keep a record? Yes, He does. I use sometimes with boys and girls, and I think I showed this Sunday night. I showed the world's smallest Bible in print. Now, I have a chip of a computer that has several hundred Bibles, but inside this little folder, there's 1,245 pages. It takes a 100-power microscope to read it. It's right here. The entire Bible is right here. What do you suppose God can do? What do you suppose God can do? This is what man can do. And the computer system, in putting out a little chip that I have, that I show children as well, that will hold scores of Bibles. But listen, God keeps a record. God keeps a record. And the Bible simply mentions in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. Matthew 12 and verse 36, we read, I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word. I read in Romans 2 and verse 16, it says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of their hearts. So the books are opened. The books are open. The record of an individual's life is opened as they stand before God. Now listen carefully to what I'm going to say, because I want you to remember these last two statements. The record of a person's sins will not condemn him. The record of a person's sins will not condemn him. But the record of your rejection of Jesus will condemn you. What's in the books does not condemn people to eternal judgment. What condemns them is the fact that their name is not in the book. That's what condemns them. My, what a wonderful Savior. We're all sinners. We're saved sinners, or there's lost sinners. But we're all sinners. All sinners. And we're not going to get rid of sin until we're gloriously changed. before Him. But dear friend, a record of a person's sins will not condemn them. It's the rejection of the Lord Jesus that's going to come. Their name is not found in the book of life. Now, how can I get my name in the book? What do I need to do? I've been to the Bible Lands many times, and before we go to the Bible Lands, we always make arrangements ahead of time where we're going to stay. And one of the Bible Land tours, we decided to go to London. Because we want to go to Spurgeon Tabernacle and go to Wesley's Chapel and go to those important places. And so they picked us up at the airport, and there were 54 individuals in our group, and they took us on that double-deck bus, and they took us to the Hilton Hotel where we're going to stay. And we all got off the Hilton, and I walked up to the registrar desk, and a lady was sitting there behind the registrar desk with glasses on. They were down a little bit lower on her nose. She said, "Sir, what's your name?" I gave her my name. I said, "We're going to be staying here tonight." She said, "What's your name?" And she went and went down the list of names. And finally she came to my name, Charles Sanders. When she came my name, she called a bellhop with a key, and they grabbed my luggage and took me up to my hotel room. Now, how did I get my name in the registrar of the Hilton Hotel in London? I got my name there because months ahead of time, a call was made to the Hilton. And my name, along every name in our group, was given and recorded in the record. So when we got there, our names were in the record, and we had a room reserved. Now, suppose you come off the street, and I ask you, suppose somebody comes off the street there in London, and they don't have their name. Can they stay here? They said, no. You've got to have your name in the book. In the book. Now, dear friend, how do you get your name in God's book? Repent of your sin. Cry out to God for mercy and for His love. And when you do that, listen, your name will be written in the Lamb's book of life, secure. Amen. So when death knocks at your door, it's okay. Transported from here to glory. Here to glory. Oh, listen, what a day that's going to be. Now, dear friend, for the unsaved, the group that's standing here, the last words they'll ever, ever hear God say are found in Matthew 7 and verse 23. Depart from me. They'll never again hear a gospel message. They'll never again hear a church service like this one. Never again. God will say, depart from me, and through all eternity, being lost forever. That judgment's terrible, isn't it? The judged, and the judgment, all presented here in Revelation in this chapter. Dear friend, search your heart tonight. Will you be standing at this judgment? Will you be standing in judgment because you rejected the Savior? No, don't put it off. Trust Him tonight. Make that telephone call to heaven and let Him save you tonight. And then, dear friend, if you are saved tonight, may God burden our hearts for people that are unsaved. And I think many of our churches have lost that burden. Thank God for the burden that this church has to reaching lost people. But I think we've forgotten. I think we've forgotten to get a burden for individuals. Like two sweet girls that came to Sunday school with marks on their face. And I said to these two blonde sweet girls, "Did you fall off your bicycle?" They said, "No. Daddy came home yesterday drunk, beat up on my mother and beat up on us." And I looked at those sweet blonde girls, beat up by her dad, It burned in my heart. You know what I did? I went across the street to talk to him. Oh, listen. And as a result of talking to him and all that we went through and talking to him, he knelt on his front step and got saved. Asked his wife to forgive him. Asked the two sweet blonde girls to forgive him. Why? Because we cared. How about your neighbor? You burdened about your neighbor? You burdened about somebody in your family? You concerned about them? They're going to stand at this judgment someday and be lost and be lost and lost forever and forever. We need to be burdened. Burdened for lost people. There are times when we need to get down, wake up at night and get down beside our bed and weep a bit. Cry out, oh God, what's it going to take that that person might get saved? We don't do much of that. I say to you, dear folk, when's the last time you came and knelt at this altar? And at this altar wept and prayed for someone that was lost? Oh, we don't do that. But we better do it. Because individuals are going to stand at this judgment lost for all of time and eternity in a terrible place, separated from the love of God. If you're saved tonight, thank Him that you're saved. If you need to be forgiven tonight, find forgiveness. If you're here tonight and you know someone that's unsaved, loved one or friend, let's get a burden for them. Burden for them. Oh, we need to get a burden for them. Not give up. 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 I think of a dear lady tonight, and I close with this illustration. A dear lady whose husband was a drunk. Came home and beat up on her. Beat up on her. Pushed her across a hot stove and burned and scarred her arms and her face. Her children came to her and said, Mother, you need to get rid of Dad. He'll kill you. He's going to kill you. And their dear lady said, No, I'm not going to get rid of him. I'm praying for him. I'm praying for him, and he'll get saved. Oh, listen, we got a letter from him recently, a letter from her some time ago. That man that beat up his wife and scarred her arms and her face and got saved. And you know what? They're singing today in the choir. Why? Because a dear wife and mother was burdened for someone that's unsaved. How about us tonight? Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, take a good look inside tonight. Is your name in the book of life? Is your name listed among the redeemed? And if it's not, wouldn't you like to be saved tonight? And as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you'll slip your hand up and say, Yes, I'm not sure my name is in the book. Would you pray for me? Anyone tonight, slip your hand up right now. Anyone tonight in this auditorium. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, we've seen wonderful decisions this week. But as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how many of you dear folks say, I'm burdened tonight for someone that's not saved? Loved one, friend, neighbor, I'm burdened for someone that's not saved. Would you pray for me and pray for them? You'll slip your hands up right now. I'm burdened for someone that's not saved. God bless you, dear folk. You see, if we're not burdened, nobody's going to be. Nobody's going to be. That's why God saved us, not just to get to heaven, but He saved us so we might be a living testimony and be burdened for lost souls. Lord, speak to us tonight as we sing an invitation song. We'll praise you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. 394 in our songbook. Great, great song entitled, I Surrender All. Let's stand again as we sing it.